Back in on Canuck Central, final segment of the show. A lot of fun today. It's Satyar Shah with Bick Nizar on Sportsnet 650.
Round of applause for Josh Elliott-Wolf.
I told you that I believe in Josh Elliott-Wolf, and he did go out and get a Wonder Bar for you to try.
Made it back, too, before the break.
Which I also had no doubts about. Yeah, and
people doubted me, except for
self-checkout. Self-checkout or...
Self-checkout.
Yeah, it's faster. Sure. It's the fastest thing you got to do. Okay. And yeah, so there was some concern, especially from Arash, too, because he wasn't sure if you were going to come back with a handful of candy for everybody.
Right after Josh trusted you.
Yeah,
alone.
And you know what I said?
You threw seeds of doubt into the character of Josh Elliott-Wolf.
You know, I was being positive. You know, Josh ran out. I'm like, he's actually going to get candy. And what I told Arash was, it's a sign of trust. You believe that you trust him on the controls, so you're not worried about it.
Okay, this is why I don't like Smarties people. It's because they're narcs. This is what happens. Smarties kids, he threw me, 100%. Sat for me under the bus.
Hey, listen, it's on air. It's on air. It's on record.
The package. Smarties package is just shaking anyway. In your pocket, right? You can't sneak up on anyone because it's... All right, so I'm going to try a...
All right,
is it Wonder Bar or is it Wonder Bar?
It's Wonder Bar.
It's Wonder Bar?
Yeah, well, you've seen the commercials, right? Have a bite.
Honestly, I don't even know if I've ever had this.
You probably
before.
Have.
It's like not a... It's not a crazy candy or anything.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah,
that's fine.
It's good.
I was a little worried Josh was setting me up after the onion thing.
No, it's...
I got you back.
Onion candy.
It's like McTurk. Here you go.
McTurk.
Hey, that's very enjoyable.
One thing we didn't tell him is that it's going to be stuck in his teeth for like the rest of the show.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay.
That's different. That's all right. You have 20 minutes to try to lodge it through your teeth here as we go through the meal. You know what?
I'm not going to eat the whole thing.
No. So, yeah. So, that's the update on the candy. And before we move on, Adam from Polkompton and somebody else texted in, too, and said, the Maynard's box is very underrated. Swedish berries, Swedish fish, and Sour Patch Kids. I completely agree. I'm more of a candy.
Cherry blasters?
I'm more of a candy person than I am a chocolate person. So, I'm 100% on board with that. Good. Great take. Great take. All right. We'll get to more of your questions in the mailbag.
I'm getting roasted for my palate for not liking Score. Score's fine. I just don't know if it has the hype machine.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I'm on board. Score as like an ingredient in a Blizzard, McFlurry, whatever. Good. Score on its own. Not so good.
All right.
Yeah, I'm you know what? To each their own. I'm a big Score fan, and I agree with this person here that says Score is for refined palates, right, Sat? Bick won't know how to appreciate a Score bar anyways. I completely agree. Could not agree more.
Yeah, fair. All right, moving on.
First question from Gordy Locke. With context of coming off an embarrassing loss at home, having 2 days off, and playing the weakest team in the NHL, is Saturday's game versus the Sharks guaranteed win night?
I mean,
no.
I mean, I don't believe in guaranteed win night in general. I think that's an overstated thing. When people say guaranteed loss, like guaranteed win night.
Let me rephrase it. Is it like must win?
No, you cannot have a must win in November.
Just for the vibes, is it a must
win? For the vibes, it's very important to win. Yes, it's very important to have a good showing. We are, however, still in game number 10 of the season.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's going to make
or
break.
Even if they lose, they'll be sitting there with 11 points in 10 games. And I'm not saying that's good or justified, but I'm saying, what have we said all along? Get through the first 20 games of the season, don't be under 500, and make improvements and be a good hockey team by the middle of the season. So there's so much more time to go, so I'm not going to be so declarative, but last night's game was so bad and they played so poorly and it was so disappointing that there has to be some sort of response on Saturday. I don't care what it looks like, there has to be a positive response on Saturday.
Think of the 0-5-2 start a couple of seasons ago. If at some point you said, hey, after 0-5, the next one was must win and they go and lose. If you have a must-win game in October or November, that's a bigger statement to what your season is. And you go back, 0-5-2 should have been the signal that they're not coming back to the playoffs. No matter what they did in the back half of that season under Boudreau, they were never going to make the playoffs. Because you were already talking about must-win games. You just can't have a must-win game in October or November.
Next one comes from... Sorry, I lost the page here. Next one comes from Ian. Since Trevor Linden was president, the Canucks medical team has had a philosophical aversion.
Philosophical?
That's how you say the word.
Yes.
That's how you say the word. I knew.
You want to say it? Philosophical?
Philosophical.
Very good. Very good.
That wasn't
See, you conquered it. You conquered it. Wow. It was good. You got it.
How did you say it?
Sophophical? Sophophagus?
Hip-hop-anonymous?
He's like, hip-hop-anonymous.
Anyway, they've had an aversion.
Can we check the tape around to get the clip?
All right. Yeah. Go on, Josh. Poor Josh. He brought you candy. You're like roasting the poor guy.
We don't care at all. You screw up. You are on the board to get roasted.
Like, as I was saying it, I was like, this is not the way it's said. But I did it.
I've heard how other people have said it, and this is not
just like a mumble your way through.
Anyway, sorry.
Anyways, I apologize.
They've had an aversion to surgery. We've seen a lot of unfortunate injuries with incomplete or failed recoveries. Pearson, Besser, Demko, Pettersson. Is that just bad luck, or is it fair to view this as a trend?
So is it asking about the medical staff, essentially?
Is it like, hey, are these injuries and them continuing kind of bad luck, or is it...
I think the injuries, how they happen, are bad luck. Is there any sort of...
The part that you can control? Oh, man, that's a good question.
It's hard to say, right? Like, I mean, I think what you also have to keep in mind is every single team and every single player in the league, or most players in the league, are going to try to play through injuries.
Yeah.
And there's an acceptance that you're not going to be 100% all the time. And if you're not 100%, you can't sit out every game, because there are a lot of games you're not going to be 100%. And it's kind of life in the NHL. So I don't think it's a Vancouver issue. I think it's a league issue in general. Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure it's an issue. It's kind of a fact of life. You are going to have injuries. Now, is there an aversion to surgeries, for instance, or aversion to taking longer time off for players that have led to more injuries? Fair question to ask.
Generally speaking, surgery is last resort.
Yes. Some teams obviously would rather, are even more reluctant with surgery because they don't want guys to miss that much time. I'm not sure that's a philosophical thing or a case-by-case thing.
Just flexing on Josh right there.
So I don't know if that's the thing to keep in mind, too. It's like, well, they bypass surgery, but is it because it's philosophically something they don't want to do? Or it's like, actually, this situation does not require surgery at the moment, and that's why we're not doing it.
That's a great question.
Really makes you think. Get all philosophical about it.
Ooh, very good. There we go.
There you go.
Justin and East
Man just had a 6-0 loss 8 seconds ago, and he's bounced back already. That was a must-win word right there for Josh Elliott Wolf.
He's going to be like the Canucks on Saturday.
Justin and East Man, should Artur Shelov get more action in the American Hockey League? So basically, should he be sent out?
Not right now.
For who?
Shelov. Not right now, but... I know there's this demand, you know, from the Shelov side that, hey, we're ready to take on more. But boy, I don't think it's gone very well right now.
No. So I think for Shelov's, I was actually talking to someone at the gym about this. Rob was asking me about, hey, can you see Shelov's doing a conditioning assignment soon? I actually don't think it's a bad idea that if Lankinen's going to get, say, these next few games, are you better off throwing Shelov's down, bring Patera up, and he can have a start or two in Abbotsford? Like, I don't think it's a bad idea. I don't think it's something that you should be against doing, for instance. I'm not sure that's in the cards quite yet. But, you know, what we've seen from Shelov so far, it's very clear he needs work. And I'm not trying to say I told you so, but we talked about this last year, too, when there was so much, you know, hype around Shelov. Mm-hmm. It was terrific for the team in the playoffs. But it's like, guys, he's a young goaltender, and... what we're expecting from him, or what people think he can be, he might be one day, but it's very seldom a player comes in and plays at an elite level right away and stays at an elite level. Like, there's going to be ups and downs. He hasn't played a ton of games yet. Mm-hmm. And let's be honest, last year he wasn't great in Abbotsford until he came to Vancouver. So it wasn't this great year, you know, beginning to end year for him. So he has a lot of work to do. So I would be also reluctant to be overly critical about it. I think people that are losing hope in him and say he sucks or he's not as good as we thought he was, I think it's more about you misplacing your expectations as opposed to an indictment on him. He needs work, but I wasn't even sure he was ready to be a starter yet. So I'd just be, you know, pumping the brakes on the pessimism around him, but he clearly still needs development.
Halloween-themed question from Austin in Langley. Is there anything scarier than the Susie Myers pairing on the ice?
For the Canucks right now, would Desharnais...
I was going to wait to see if you were going to say it or if I was going to say it.
I mean, Jules and Desharnais probably would be the most terrifying pair I could come up with. So that would be spookier to me.
That would be spookier.
Two right-hand defensemen that are struggling together. Whew, that would be...
You know things have gotten desperate.
if that happens.
I guess Juleson and Desharnais.
So that to me is the spookiest pair you can come up with on the Canucks. But they're probably not too far off because Soucy has really struggled, right?
Yeah.
I think Soucy's a better player than what he's shown. I believe in the player's ability and quality, and repeating ourselves here, but... Is he being asked to do too much because he's never played a top four role and now is being elevated from playing 17 minutes a game, roughly, and not being sheltered, but more protected, I would say, than what he is now? Is he being exposed or is it just growing pains early in the season? That's what we're trying to figure out. But clearly, the biggest defensive issue the Canucks have had is that pair, no doubt. Not only have they been bad, they've been league bad. You go around the league, not many D pairs have been worse than that D pair when they've been out there as far as differentials go, and that's something that has to change.
And they're playing important minutes,
yeah,
right? It's not as if Quinn Hughes gets matchup roles all the time. The Soucy Myers pair gets the big roles, and it hasn't gone well at all for him so far.
Next one from Taj. Will the Canucks ever find a bumper replacement for Bo Horvat on the power play?
I mean, this is something that's been an issue for the team going back, ever since he was traded, that the Canucks lost something in the bumper they haven't been able to replace yet. That's absolutely true. And you know, we even talked about this when Bo got traded. It's like, I was all for trading Bo. If anything, you know, you and I probably led the charge as far as if you had to keep one between JT and Bo, trade Bo and keep JT. That's kind of, you know, that was our take on it. But it was very clear that the biggest impact that he made on the team outside of the 5-on-5 play was the bumper spot on the power play. He's elite at retrievals, getting his shot off, and scoring from the bumper. He really is. He's elite at those things. They've missed that ever since he's gone. Is that the linchpin for the power play? It shouldn't be, but I do agree that until they solve the bumper spot, you're not going to get the best out of JT Miller setting that guy up. And I think as far as consistency on the power play, you can't have a weak link, and right now the bumper spot continues to be a weak link.
Yeah, we were chatting last night about what changes do you make to the power play here? You know, putting DeBrusk back in there to me would make some sense to go back into the bumper, Besser, net front. You know, we got 9 goals on the power play last year. They got 58 goals last year on the power play. It just needed to be smoother and more consistent. But it's not as if the power play can't score last year. But right now, like, they are searching for answers. And for me, I think, you know, we chatted about Sprong. I don't know if I'm putting another righty out there. I'm probably putting DeBrusk back out there.
Yeah, I think DeBrusk still needs a little bit more, I think, time to get adjusted with the team.
Sure.
And yeah, right now, it's like he hasn't figured it out top six, trying to figure out the bumper spot. I think it was the right move to get him off. Let's just simplify things for him and get him going a little bit. I would revisit it. But yeah, I mean, we talk about this a lot, trying to find that left-handed shot in the bumper spot, and it continues to be something they haven't figured out.
Next one from Dominic Schermatti. Why didn't Garrett Cole run to first?
Dude, that is...
That was bad.
You can do that in May.
Yeah.
You're on an elimination game in the World Series. How did you lose focus in that moment?
I don't get it. I really don't get it.
I get that, like, because when you watch the play, you can see that he's like, oh, Rizzo's closer. He has the ball already. Theoretically, he should run.
But
they should both be running towards first. And neither of them did.
That's a tough, tough scene. Is there like a recent non-NHL or non-MLB equivalent to that type of play? In a big moment like that?
I feel like
would it be J.R. Smith?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That's pretty good.
That's probably J.R. Smith.
That's pretty good. With LeBron,
yeah. Right? Like, that's probably, I'd say that one.
Oh, my God.
Morris backpedaling and falling over in the playoffs, but it wasn't the Super Bowl. Remember that?
Yeah.
He was trying to backpedal and let the ball get over top of him.
Who's that, Raheem Morris?
It was Raheem Morris, wasn't it?
No, Raheem Morris is the coach.
There was a DB, Raheem something with the Broncos. I forget what it was.
Yeah,
but
Flacco throwing the touchdown to Jacoby Jones.
Yeah,
that's a good
one. He was backtracking, he fell over. It was pretty embarrassing.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I mean, there was also been the ones in the playoffs where somebody's running to the end zone and loses focus or slows down and somebody knocks the ball out. Like, there's been those too.
I think it's hard to happen in hockey.
I guess it's like Chris Phillips and Steve Smith and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I guess Steve Smith's probably the best one. Yeah. He hits it off.
But that one is like, you just run, man. Yeah. You just run to first. You don't even have the ball. Just run to first.
Yeah. Well, Cam Newton not jumping on the ball in the Super Bowl is one.
He was further away than the camera indicates, but he definitely should have done it.
Yeah, he should have done it. He'd do with it. But it wasn't. Yeah, it was a little bit more different. But not a bad shout. Not a bad shout.
Into the Halloween part of
the
mailbag. Wayne, worst office party Halloween costume. I would assume anything that has the word sexy in front of it is probably not appropriate.
Yeah, I would, you know.
Anything that, like, ruffles.
Yeah, I don't know.
For us particularly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If honestly, just in general,
no,
too.
No, honestly, the worst is, like, somebody, if you have glitter and it goes everywhere.
That's
like,
yeah,
I don't want to have glitter everywhere. Show, yeah. Like, the glitter is the worst. And I got to sit on the desk and get glitter on my pants. And I get home and I'm like, why you got glitter? I'm like, I didn't do anything. Somebody was the office.
Well, let me tell you, we had a work party today. It's like, what?
So, yeah, the glitter is the worst.
Where do you work? Wolf of Wall Street?
The movie?
Oh, just an extra on the Wolf of Wall Street.
Ah, okay. Jabbo, buying discounted Halloween candy in early November.
Oh.
Sad or sound?
Sound.
It's, I mean, get it cheap and then you can save it for the holidays. Get it now because it's going to go up in price a couple weeks later anyways for the holiday version of the box that has like a Christmas ornament on the box. Yeah. You pay more for it just because the box is different.
I was just buying candy and they already have all the Christmas stuff out there too.
Well, buy the Halloween. I mean, you don't need to keep the candy in the box. When people come over, just throw it into a bowl. Mm-hmm.
That's why I can't fill in for Riccio tomorrow. I'm just going to tour department stores. We're like, here we go. Ooh, a piece of candy.
You got a car now, so you got all the extra space for it.
Yeah.
This one from Bick. I don't know if you guys like talked about it a lot while I was gone, but which Halloween candy box is next? Oh, we're moving on?
No, we're not moving on.
We got a lot of submissions about
So somebody texted in a photo of the best candy box, and it's the bag that you brought in.
Exactly.
It's like the, what is it? What is the bag called?
It's the Hershey's one.
The 50. Yeah. It says 50 on it?
Yeah, so it's Reese's Pieces, it's cookies and cream Hershey's, Whoppers, Reese's Peanut
Whopper,
Butter
Whopper,
Cups.
Whopper, Whopper, Whopper.
Yeah, and O. Henry.
Single, double, triple.
What I will say, what knocks this bag down a bit compared to what it used to be, used to get the single peanut butter cup that was regular size. Now you get a peanut butter cup that's a mini.
Oh, that's not great.
Which is like, it's almost more disappointing.
Yeah, you're getting robbed.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, you know, I was debating between the coffee crisp box and this one, and actually the Twix box. Oh, it's a tough one. I might go with the Twix box.
I gotta go. Honestly, my favorites are.
Are you
just
eating right now?
I had one of the.
You sounded like a dog with peanut butter.
Well, I mean, the Whopper was just, you know, speaking to me. I had to take one to try one. I think the Peter and Langley, you guys are making me hungry. That's pretty much half our job here on this show.
Yeah.
But so the Maynard's box is really nice. What's the one that had Skittles in it again? Is it just the Skittles one?
Like the sour Skittles?
Yeah,
sour
I think
Skittles.
It's got Skittles and sour Skittles.
That's my favorite is probably the Skittles because I can just eat Skittles.
Candy Maynard's over chocolate?
Yeah, I'm candy over chocolate generally, yeah.
I'm usually a candy over chocolate guy for my general.
But on Halloween, I want chocolate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Halloween, when it's bite size, like mini size.
I can have a couple. Like, I just had one of these Whoppers, which has like three little Maltese candies in them. And I'm like, I'm good. I don't need to have any more chocolate the rest of the day.
I think I'm going for the Twix box because you get M&M's.
Twix.
Mars are kind of trash.
Twix are overrated. So my take on this, the Cadbury box that you put out there.
Yeah.
None of those are my favorite. I think Wonder Bar is pretty good.
Yeah.
Wunderbar.
But I think that there's no misses in the box.
That's so uninspiring.
Yeah, but sometimes you just need a consistent box. You got to go out there and put in a
But this is a luxury effort. Item. This is like, we're investing in chocolate. We want to hit the highs.
I want to be able to like eat the whole box and not be disappointed at any point.
So here's the thing, actually, and this is really stupid, but is it good to want everything in the box and you eat the whole box? Isn't it better to like, you know, not touch about a quarter of it at least that you can give to somebody else so you don't ingest all the chocolate?
Yes. Yes.
No, that's why I said quality.
I just read a glitter text. A glitter
text. I'm not reading that one.
We can't read that one, but that is.
I can't read yes. Thanks, Shiloh, but we're not reading it, okay? It made me laugh, too, okay? I just had my mic on.
All right.
No Big Turk, somebody asked. But does Big Turk come in a candy box? I don't know.
I don't think so.
And we're not talking candy. Like, we're talking candy boxes for Halloween.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
assorted candies.
Yeah.
This one from Tyler, mailbag. Go into other neighborhoods and not yours on Halloween when you're trick-or-treating. He says their Vancouver neighborhood will have over 1,000 kids by 8:30. I think this has gotten more popular.
So I understand why some people do it. Now, it was a lot different when we were growing up. Like, I grew up just going out to my neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
But it's a bit different with people that live in areas where there are condos and apartment buildings. You can't go knocking. You can't just go on. So if you want to go door-to-door a neighbor, you have to go to a different neighborhood somewhere to go through the Halloween experience, to see the homes that have the Halloween decorations, see the kids walking around. So I think some people do it because they don't have a choice. They can't go knocking on, condos. Yeah. You can only be on your floor. It's like, what, at most 6 units? It's like, all right, Jamie, let's go trick-or-treating. Back in 2 minutes. Knock on 4 doors, come back.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
but also, sometimes
you have access to all the elevator floors on Halloween.
That's true.
Actually, yeah.
No. That'd be a good idea. But also, sometimes it's like people know what the good neighborhoods are. Where sometimes you get a full size bar or whatever.
Yeah.
And so you go and scope those out.
Those gated communities.
You got to hop the fence sometimes, man.
You pull up to the gated community, there's just a bowl of candy. I'm probably like, do not enter in here. But we're not opening the gates.
But honestly, like, I understand why, like, some kids will go to neighborhoods that are nicer and cleaner and that have the house. Again, like, one of your favorite, at least for me, when I was a kid for Halloween, the thing I loved was just walking around the neighborhood, seeing all the other kids and seeing the homes and people that you really, bought into the Halloween spirit. Like, it was really cool to go house to house and see what the decorations
were. And people really like Big Turk.
Yeah, Big Turk.
Yeah, you're saying you haven't had a Wonder Bar before. I don't think I've ever had a Big Turk before.
No, I might have to try a Big Turk now. Yeah. Not tonight.
No.
It's already too much.
Only one new chocolate per day.
Now, this text
next
says,
year.
This text says, my mom always took me to townhomes right together to get the best bang for the buck instead of our area. LOL.
Good shout.
Good parenting. Shout out to moms.
100%, right?
Shout out to moms,
yeah.
No doubt. We'll end with this one. Keith the Water Guy. Blow up lawn decorations. How do you feel about
that? Wait, say that again?
Blow up lawn decorations.
Blow up lawn decorations.
Three syllables. Josh,
this text says, keep sending Josh complicated words. This entertainment is better than last night's game.
Blown or blow up?
Blow up.
I think it applies the same thing.
It does? I thought blow up is to inflate and
blown up has been inflated.
How is any of this overrated? Like, how are people upset about people?
Are we
having...
doing overrated, underrated? Are we doing
no?
It feels like we got overrated, underrated submissions for the mailbag.
It's okay.
No, it's a Thursday. It's in the middle.
It could be a little bit of both, but yeah, I mean, I do think some are very graphic that people do some of these Halloween things, like crime scenes things.
Oh right, yeah.
But that's the spirit of Halloween. And the people that go the extra mile to get the blow up things or do a crime scene, or you've seen the lights that go off and also sing like that, or do spooky lines from movies or whatever. Like, I think all that stuff's really cool.
I'll adjust my take. For Christmas, the inflatable ones are cool. For Halloween,
they're a little cheesy.
Get props. Do the full scenes.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of work. Some people can't do all that work.
What do you prefer? Halloween decorations just in general?
Halloween.
Or Christmas?
I don't even care what you're going to say. Halloween.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm more of a... Like, Christmas, to me, I just get...
The indoor Christmas stuff is better.
Right.
But the outdoor, Halloween is better.
Mm. I prefer, Christmas lights and
man, you get
stuff
to, you
like
get,
that.
For a day, for a week, you're legally allowed to scare your neighbors. That's awesome. Create something epic, man.
Okay, I will say the people that go all out on Halloween, though, that's probably better. But the people that, if I'm just talking about half-assing either Christmas or Halloween, I think Christmas is easier to do that.
Don't do a half measure, man.
Halfway through Bick's sentence, when he's like, for one day, you're legally allowed to. I'm like, don't suggest the purge.
Don't suggest the purge.
Don't suggest the purge.
Bick, I don't think you know what Halloween is.
Because you can just go kill people. I was like, wait, no, you can't. It's all right. All the people you hate for 1 week a year, just single them out.
Those are all the questions.
I can't breathe.
All right, fantastic, great stuff. A lot of fun. The Halloween edition of Mailbag Friday on a Thursday, and we have a show tomorrow. I don't think Bick is going to be part of the show. I think Reach is going to be back tomorrow. So thanks for filling in this week. We'll see, though. I mean, depends on how he feels tomorrow, right?
Thanks for filling in.
Yeah,
that's my job.
Thanks for filling in. I mean, it's like I was told to come in. What am I supposed to do? The schedule said you're working now.
This feels like when a player plays 64 games for a team and they give him the video the next season. It's like, welcome back, Bick Nizar. Hey, thanks for doing it.
It's like, I mean, it was my job. It's like, what am I supposed to do? Not do it? Should I go home? All right. But great stuff. I appreciate all your questions and comments. Always a lot of fun on the show.
The comments.
No, don't do that. Don't do that.
We've gone a whole week without
I felt so, honestly, like, why?
I was going to do it on Monday. And I was like, I'll wait for the moment, and I forgot. This was the moment.
And I was like, all happy. I'm going to deal with Riccio's comments, and this dude drops a comments on me. At
he's quaffing right now.
You know what? This is over. Thanks for listening. He's Bic. He's Josh. Arash, my guy. Have a great night, everybody. Happy Halloween. Be safe. Have fun. And we'll chat tomorrow.
The most opinionated Canucks show out there. Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drance. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.